Today, as we celebrate the reign of Christ, we witness strongman authoritarians who aspire to be kings, espousing nationalistic, white supremacist, anti-immigration, anti-LGBTQ, and anti-democratic policies rise up across the world. In 1925, as the world was being gripped by similar nationalist, secularist, anti-Semitic, authoritarian, and fascist dictators, Pope Pius XI instituted Christ the King Sunday to refocus us on why we are here, to be icons of God's love in the world. The reign of Christ is a title that strikes a particular tension, since any and all descriptions of Jesus, thankfully, bear no resemblance to these kinds of earthly leaders, and who King Jeremiah condemns in no uncertain terms. "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture," says the Lord. "Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings," says the Lord. Jesus has none of the trappings of these wicked shepherds. Christ does not destroy, scatter, or divide. Rather, our Jesus heals, repairs, gathers, and unites everyone and everything. We look at him today as he hangs on the Roman cross, condemned by the authoritarian regime of Caesar, still offering God's love and compassion to another so condemned. Mocked by the empire as a so-called king, Jesus exhibits the characteristics of a true king anointed by God. When asked by another so condemned, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom," he replies, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Writing in the aftermath of World War I, Pius noted that while there had been a cessation of hostilities, there was no true peace. He deplored the rise of class divisions and unbridled nationalism, and held that true peace can only be found under the kingship of Christ as Prince of Peace. He thus wrote, "Jesus Christ reigns over the minds of individuals by his teachings, in their hearts by his love, in each one's life by the living according to his law, and the imitating of his example." Pius further wanted this feast to inspire the laity, saying, "The faithful, moreover, by meditating upon these truths, will gain much strength and courage, enabling them to form their lives after the Christian ideal. Jesus must reign in our minds, in our wills, in our hearts, in our bodies, and in our members, which should serve as instruments for the interior sanctification of our souls." Or, to use the words of the Apostle Paul, "as instruments of justice unto God." Given the state of the world today, it still seems most appropriate and most justified a feast to observe and to ponder just what sort of king Jesus is. Is being the operative word, as the Christ was is, and ever shall be. When one enters the Bath Abbey in Bath, England, one can find a simple brochure that offers this answer to this central question of faith. What kind of king is Jesus? Jesus was born in an obscure Middle Eastern town called Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. During his first 30 years, he shared the daily life and work of an ordinary home. For the next 3 years, he went about teaching people about God and healing the sick people by the shores of Lake Galilee. He called 12 ordinary people to be his helpers. He had no money. He wrote no books. He commanded no army. He wielded no political power. During his life, he never traveled more than 200 miles in any direction. He was executed by being nailed to a cross at the age of 33. Today, nearly 2 billion people throughout the world worship Jesus as divine. Their experience has convinced them that in the wonders of nature we see God as our loving maker. In the person of Jesus, we discover God as Son. And in our daily lives, we encounter this same God as Spirit. Jesus is our way to finding God. Jesus teaches us to trust in a loving and merciful God and to pray in faith for all our needs. He taught that we are all infinitely precious children of one heavenly Creator, and that we should therefore treat one another with love, respect, and forgiveness. He lived out what he taught by caring for those he met, by healing the sick, a sign of God's love at work, and by forgiving those who put him to death. Jesus' actions alone would not have led him to a criminal's death on the cross, but his teachings challenged the religious and moral beliefs of his day. People believed, and do to this day, that he can lead us to a full experience of God's love and compassion. Above all, Jesus pointed to his death as God's appointed means of bringing a self-centered world back to God. Jesus also foretold that he would be raised to life again in 3 days after his death. When, 3 days after he had died on the cross, his followers did indeed meet him alive again. Frightened and defeated folk became fearless and joyful messengers. Their message of the good news about Jesus is the reason Bath Abbey exists. More importantly, it is the reason why all over the world there are Christians who know what it means to meet the living Jesus and believe that he can lead us all to heal and repair a broken world. This is why the church is here at all, to follow Jesus, to heal, to gather, to repair, to restore, and to unite everyone and everything, to be a blessing to all the earth and everything therein. May God for us, whom we call Creator, God alongside us, whom we call Son, and God within us, whom we call Spirit, hold and enliven us to a full experience of God's love and compassion, that in all that is, seen and unseen, we may testify to God's truth as a community of love, justice, and freedom for all peoples, all creatures, and all the earth, which God has given us to tend and preserve as God's own creation. Amen.